This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
You are watching and listening to Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube and your favourite podcasts.
Happy holidays, I guess?
Hello, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City.
Come on, you foxes!
With Chris and Craig on Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube, Facebook and Twitter.
Right, Chris.
Well, when you say Chris and Craig, I'm here. Can I just say, you know when they say at a football match, everything happens when you go to the toilet. Guess where he is. See, here he comes. Here he comes, making a comeback. I don't know what bit of Craig we're seeing there. I haven't finished my intro, but I couldn't resist doing that. He will be swearing at me now. He really will. How the devil are you all? All right there? Welcome along. Simplest things make me happy. That's why I married my wife. No. Don't tell her I said that. Actually, a bit of a personal 1 minute here. Those of you that sort of know me well will know sort of the main reason, obviously, the fact that I'm a Leicester fan, but the other main reason why I started doing this channel at the start of last season, I say, those that know me know why. I just want to say a thank you to my old best man. He's no longer my best, well, I say best man. He was, you know, I should say the best man that was available on my wedding day, really. But Mark, it was great to see you come all the way down from the lakes today. Your card is up there. Thank you very much, mate. He watches it even though he's not a football fan. That's friendship for you. And we've been friends ever since, really. Was that anything to do with the fact that we ended up in bed together on my stag night? Yeah, I'd not ask.
Watch us on YouTube. Listen on your favourite podcast platform. Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
Oh, it's going to be one of those shows tonight. I can just feel it. I can feel it in my water, as they say. Right. Just a quick few hellos before we get going. And we're going to say hello to Melina. Good evening, Melina. Nice to see you. Unlucky the other night against Man United were Arsenal. It was a good game to see from a neutral's point of view. But you do have my sympathy, and hi back to you. Hello, buddy from Facebook user. That could be Brad. Good evening, Brad. If it is Brad, get yourself signed in, mate. What are you doing? And David, hello, Chris, Craig. Great to see you both again. Hello, Miss Melina. Hope everybody is well. I hope you are all well as well. Let us see if we can get Craig ready to rumble, because it is the time for the main event.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the main event of the evening. 60 minutes of football fun and banter with Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV. Are you ready? Ready? Let's get ready to rumble.
Now, some would say that's an improvement.
Well, you've already tried to do a stitch-up on me, so I thought this seemed very appropriate.
You're going to have to tell me who it is now. Is it Lilo or Stitch or one of those?
It's Stitch.
It is Stitch, is it? Right. Yeah. I see. Hey, I get what you mean now. Stitch-up on you.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yes. And he's brought a friend who is sort of quite relevant for the kind of stuff that we talk about.
I love it.
And for all those Mike Yarwood fans, this is me.
Oh my God, that takes me back.
It does indeed.
Oh, nothing wrong with a quick game of poo sticks, was there?
Nothing wrong at all.
Now then, Craig, we'll start off with the now you're back. And I'm sorry, I couldn't resist it earlier. I was thinking, please don't get back before the intro ends. But you know, little things make me happy.
Of course.
But what were you doing on this day in 1994?
Let me have a think about that. Well, 1994, I would have probably, Scott would have been about 4 months, 5 months old by then. So I would probably been trying to get him to sleep.
Yeah, probably back to our friend Winnie then, are we, in the nappies? Yeah,
exactly.
Well, let me tell you after this what happened.
Leicester City FC, on this day in history, with Leicester Till I Die TV.
See, I could have taken you back to 1966, but I'm too kind.
Nice.
So, in 1994, it was a Saturday, Brian Little was Barrett throughout the game as he returned to Filbert Street as manager of Aston Villa. Fans held banners declaring him Judas and liar. Phil G's goal that put Leicester City ahead lightened the mood somewhat. but Guy Whittingham grabbed a second half equaliser. There can seldom have been such hostile atmosphere at Filbert Street. Well,
I was probably there.
you were holding your banner up.
No, as if.
As if you would do anything like that at all. So, have you got over Wednesday yet?
Yeah, just about. I think I was in a better place than you were, Chris, to be fair.
Well, you were probably nice and warm and well, snuggled up with a beer. That didn't
I wouldn't say that much. But, yeah, I think it was another of our game of two halves, wasn't it, really? I mean, I don't think we were that great in the second half. We were
no.
decent.
But then again, we couldn't be any worse than we were in the first.
Exactly. I just don't, you know, we've spoken about it on numerous occasions, far too many occasions to go on about our slow starts and just that overall lethargy, you know. I would assume by now that Samari has got back from one of his runs into their half and managed to get back behind the ball. I don't get Samari at the moment. He's definitely. I'm not picking on Samari, even though it sounds like it. But he's sort of indicative of that sort of malaise of a lack of intensity and a lack of showing any desire. When people have travelled a long way in a midweek, you know, on a cold night, you expect the minimum is effort.
Yes,
you know, that is the bare minimum when anybody walks over the line. Whatever the manager does, this, that, and the other. Yes, he picks the team, he sets the formation, blah, 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 and it is his job to motivate them, but you should be motivated as a professional footballer. If you can't be bothered to run and just close people down, it's all half-hearted, then you shouldn't be playing football.
I'm glad you said that, because it is funny when you actually, and obviously you can get to a lot more games than I can. I mean, for me, Southampton was like a home game. But you do see more. When you're there, and I was sat behind, and we were talking before we came live, and I was sat behind the goal. I was five rows from the front, and I thought, well, I'm safe here because, you know, if the Leicester play in the second half, because they were playing the other way, so in the second half they were playing against me, I thought, even five rows back, I'm safe because they're never going to hit me from that distance because they couldn't hit the back of it. I mean, 3 minutes, we kept a clean sheet for 3 minutes. It was from a corner, and it was zonal marking, and there might have been a bit of man marking in there, I don't know. But there was a Southampton guy at the back that nobody was marking.
Yeah.
And I'm like, guess what? He scored. Yeah. You know, it was just so, like, and you could see that when the ball came to Casper for to clear the ball, he would either go to the right to look for Johnny Evans or go to the left to look for Soyuncu. And then have a look at everything that Southampton were doing. They were first to the balls. Every time Leicester had the ball, they were pressing. You know, and every time, you know, they wanted it more than us. And why do you pass a ball to a player that's being marked by two of the opposition players, only then to get it back to you?
Because it's been written on a clipboard. That's all I can think of, that they are so programmed to do something that if I'm here, then player X needs to be there. And if he's not there, I don't know what to do. And I panic. So I'll just stand there. As I say, many times I thought it was Amazon Prime freezing, but it was Johnny Evans.
I've been waiting for that. 12 minutes into the show.
I mean, come on. I mean, you saw it. You were there, Chris. I mean, it is absolutely ridiculous because the guy just stands there and points as to where he wants a player to be, as if the opposition can't see what he's doing. He's got some kind of invisibility cloak. I mean, so what does he do? He'll waste 30 seconds pointing to somewhere where someone should be and then give it back to Casper, who eventually ends up kicking it down the pitch that he could have done. It does my head in.
Nikasaw, welcome along. First time I've seen you here, mate. Welcome along. You are most welcome. How the devil are you? Basically, Terry's agreeing. Good evening, Terry. How the devil are you? Before your appraisal of the Villa game, I have to say I fear for the worst after Wednesday's debacle at the back. I mean, I did have a rant. I don't know who saw it on last night. It did. I mean, the poor woman in front of me, I had to apologise because I was swearing that much. And she had, you know, when you get that, you know, look over your shoulder from the, you know, old lady in front of you. And I thought, whoops, you know. I just want to say, though, when Johnny Evans scored, because I couldn't, it was at the far end and I saw the ball going, but I had no idea who scored. And Southampton, being the home team, decided not to announce it. But apparently it was Johnny Evans. And I actually turned to my son and said, I wonder if Craig's watching that. Yeah. But can I just say, actually, do you know, out of accurate passes this season, Johnny Evans is actually number 6 in the table.
Is that in his household? Or
no, that's in the Leicester squad. But right, then in fairness, Daniel Amati is 4 and Soyuncu is 1. So I'm kind of, and Timothy Castagna is 5. So when all your defenders are back, let's have a look at this. Apart from Yuri, who's number 2-1, and Wilf, who's number 3-1-2-3-4 of the top 6, 5 if you include Casper, 5 of the top 7 top passes for Leicester City this season are defenders and a goalkeeper, because they're fought about with it at the back, kicking it to each other like it's a warm up.
It's a passing drill, and then what they'll come out with is, well, you know, we had 70% possession. Yeah, 60% of that was amongst the back four. I just don't understand. You know, for me, you know, and then, you know, Brendan to come out and say a backwards pass, you know, is only the start of another attack.
Jeez, maybe for teams that are good, but not for us.
Yeah, and to be honest, I'm still convinced that when Johnny scored, he was trying to pass it back to their keeper.
Probably. And I think, as well, you sat there and you can watch it at times. And I said to Sean, I said, if this goes back to Casper, I am going to go mad. It was from just outside their box. And guess what?
Yeah, backwards.
Came back to Casper. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, you know, I have never been so vocal. And in fairness, I did applaud them at the end because they were being really good with the kids and the shirts and what have you. But I couldn't boo them because it wasn't, you know, we didn't lose or anything. But I'm just, it does fear me about, you know, you listen to Brendan and he's like, he's sounding like a manager like Steve Bruce. You know, when your team's losing and it's bottom of the league and, you know, we've got to get this together, we've got to do this, we've got to pull together as a team. Bollocks. You've got to get us winning. You've got to change it. And I mean, I did go as far as you, if you saw the rant, of saying either change it, Brendan, or we'll probably need to change managers.
I did see that part of your rant, Chris.
And you probably won't agree with me on that, going that far.
Yeah, I mean, I do find it frustrating. I think all Leicester fans find it frustrating. And I don't know, again, whether Brendan's been told that he's not allowed to shout at the players during a game, because we can be lackadaisical for 45 minutes and then he'll speak to them at half time rather than, you know, 10 minutes into a game, give them a, you know, a kick up the backside or something. I don't understand why he's not animated. The only animation that you saw, and again, this was probably one that you didn't see in the ground, but you saw very clearly on TV, was when Ndidi had a shot towards the end of the game and the camera just picked up Rodgers almost just turning away in disgust at what he was trying to do. Nobody takes responsibility. And bringing on to that point there, David, do I think we give Evans too much credit because he really should... I like the way that you took that off the screen just as I was reading that, Chris.
Sorry.
You're a professional. Yeah,
auto cue's gone.
Should be much more vocal and demonstrative with the defence. Is he just as much to blame as I think if you've watched me at all, David, I don't give Johnny Evans any credit for anything. So, there's no excuse for him not shouting, being sort of vocal as a captain. Nobody wants to upset anybody anymore on a football pitch. You know, it's just... You won't get away with that in a five-a-side down the park. You know, people will be on at you. Ours are just like, oh, well, not to worry.
I mean, I think I've said to this to you before, you know, I wish Leicester players and management and what have you would actually go on to ITV4 at the weekend and watch the big match revisited, because that was football. Tackles were going in. You were allowed to be nasty. You were allowed to shout at each other. Kasper shouting at, you know, his defence, but I don't, you know, that a goal after 3 minutes, for God's sake, from a corner that Brendan says we don't have any problems defending. It comes down. Kasper manages to save it. He was unlucky that it hit his foot and then went to a certain way to a unmarked Southampton striker who obviously just said, thank you very much, boom, into the goal. But it's there's no point shouting at your defenders for doing that. Shout at Brendan. You're the captain.
Hmm. I don't know what's... There's clearly something... I said this the other week, didn't I, after the Chelsea game, mate. There's clearly something not right there. Hmm. The message isn't getting through. The back four mess about with it, but they don't get as much protection as they used to, or whatever. I guess the players in front don't seem to want to work hard. I thought Wilf was borderline appalling during that game.
Wasn't his best one, yeah.
I mean, some of his decision making. I mean, if it wasn't for an offside, he'd have actually managed the hat trick of penalties given away. Yes. That we talked about, we joked about in the preview show of it.
Yes. Just
having a wild swing and kicking someone in the stomach. I mean, he was lucky that the offside, you know, took that out of the game. I don't know if the ball was dead and you kick someone, you know, it's still a foul. So I was quite surprised that they didn't actually rewind it and go back at it. But then again, he's giving silly fouls away in corners. It's just an overall lack of discipline. And for me, that seems to be coming from the top.
Rennie says there wants Rodgers out as he did the other night, and he wants Mancini in. He says, to be honest, Rodgers wants to quit as Leicester manager. That's why we're passing, may pass him back. I was angry, and you know, we have these streams here to vent our anger. That's why, you know, what social media is there for these days. If we had the Brendan Rodgers that we've had for the last 2 years, then I would not be questioning him in. Mm-hmm. But I did say to Brad, and he very quite rightly and entitled to do so, was of an opposing opinion to myself about this. But as a team, and maybe we've been punching above our weight for two seasons, but as a team, surely you expect at the least to stand still, you know, even for allowing, you know, the fact that maybe, you know, the other teams, the West Hams and the Man Uniteds and the Arsenals, but they're all coming back and we're not, you know, there's more people after those places that we're after. But we should, you know, if we're sat, I mean, I think if we're playing, it's the performances, to be honest with you.
I think that's it. It is performances, you know. Teams, every team improves, you know, usually most seasons teams will improve. So it doesn't surprise me that it's tougher this season to get where we wanted to be. But it is the level of performance that's the disappointing bit. I don't know, maybe the players are just bored of hearing Brendan's voice. You know, they do have a lifespan, managers, you know, and it always surprises me when you get... a manager gets sacked, but then they promote as interim manager like they're second in command. It's still the same voice.
Who then resigns as soon as a new guy comes in.
You know, I don't understand it. And I'm not saying I want Brendan out. What I want is to see something, you know, to see something being put right, not just hyperbole on a post-match interview acknowledging that he knows what's wrong. If you keep coming out and saying you know what's wrong and you are unable to put it right, then questions will start to be asked.
Yes.
And you know, particularly he's not helping himself if he keeps coming out and saying, yeah, I know that we lack the intensity. It's not at the levels where we want to be, blah, 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 blah. Do something about it then, you know?
Yes. I mean, I know I do laugh at myself because I think I'm sounding like Arsenal fans here, and with all respect to Miss Molina, who I don't put into this category, but you know those fans that sort of, well, we are Arsenal, we are Man United, so we should be winning things, you know.
Yeah.
But and maybe I come in across like that. Well, we are Leicester, we should be fifth or sixth, so we always are. But I just, you know, it's the same players that we had last season. It's the same management. We bought better players in, supposedly, but we're a lot worse. And you know, I know Brad was going. He was saying, and I totally respect what Brad's saying here, but he's saying like, you know, we're on 19 points, and you know, another win would take us up equal, you know, into sixth place, equal with Tottenham. But that's getting further each week. It's another point here and another point there. How long do we, you know, do we keep saying in April? We're still only 9 points off 10th place. So, yeah, at what point do we say stops now?
It's tricky, isn't it? Because you have to ask yourself as well if you have to ask yourself if Jamie had buried the chance that he should have buried, would we be having the same conversations? Probably no. We'd be saying we were disappointed with the first half, but look how great we were. We turned it round and we got a win. And that's the difference, isn't it? That it's one miscued shot away from you coming back and everybody saying what great courage they showed and resilience because they came back twice. You know,
yeah, it is.
But it's a funny old game, isn't it, football?
It is, but, you know... You're in sales, I believe, aren't you?
No. Marketing, which is even worse.
You what, sorry?
Marketing, which is even worse. Well, I just put a spin on anything.
No, but I was in sales most of my life, and you know, the difference between having a good month hitting your bonus, you know, hitting your target and getting your bonus could be one sale.
Yeah.
But that one sale, you know, could take you from being the best salesperson to not being the best salesperson. Yeah. And, you know, I know Harvey Barnes had a shot when it went diagonally across when he could have pulled it back for Jamie Vardy. But
yeah.
I can't say I'm not blaming Jamie Vardy. Yes, normally he would have buried it, but, you know, normally I'm, you know, you don't know if, you know, it happens. You have bad days, but
the thing is, though, if we're blaming... I don't want, you know, to just come out as we blame X, Y, and Z. But if we're blaming Brendan for his faults, then you have to blame the strikers and Jamie, you know, being one of them for his. I remember, and it was really frustrating. I remember, and please, someone correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm remembering this wrong. Last season, we had a 1-1, I think, away at Southampton. And Jamie Vardy had a chance near the end where he could have lifted it into the roof and at the net, and he just shot it straight at the keeper's legs. Almost identical position, exactly the same, cost us 2 points. 2 points which would have put us in the Champions League. And now he's done it again in a game where he's cost us 2 points from missing. So, again, I'm not here calling, saying he should be dropped or whatever, but people have to take individual responsibility as well as a team responsibility.
I guess I it's a very good point, but you've got to ask, where does the buck stop? Because, you know, I can blame Casper for, you know, if he does kick the ball upfield, 5 times out of 10 it goes out. But why aren't the defensive coaches? How long has he been at the club? Aren't they, or, you know, or Mike Stowell, the goalkeeping coach? You know, why aren't you doing that?
I agree. It just shows how difficult it is, because really what we could say is, based on the performance, and if we want Brendan to put things right, you know, he should be dropping Casper, he should be dropping Johnny Evans, he should be dropping Jamie, he should be dropping Samar, he should be dropping off the team, and then we put the others in, and then when they don't perform, it'll be like, why didn't you? it's the life of a manager, and unfortunately, yep. he gets paid a lot of money, yep. and he has to live or die by results. Him. And at the end of yep. it, you know, I know I've sort of gone off and saying, right, you've got to, you know, point fingers at individual players. You have, but at the end of it, you're exactly right. The book stops with the manager, and if yep. it didn't, then we could all be managers. If it's yep. all about the players, you know, then we can all do it. And the biggest thing at this level, two things: organization of your team and motivation of your team, because they're all good players. They're in the Premier League. So it's those two things: motivation, organization. If you can't do that, I'm not sure what your value is.
No, totally. And it's like, you know, Gareth Southgate, you go, I'm going to get hate mail for this, but Gareth Southgate is, to me, in my opinion, a good England manager. But would you want him managing your club? No, for me, because he's not a good club manager. Mm-hmm. Because when you're managing England, you've got the best players there who have got yeah. the skills that they've been taught at the club. So you don't really have to do that with them. It's just a case of getting them to play together. The one thing I will, because we have actually got a match at the weekend, which we should be talking about. We always seem to be talking about how bad we were last time. And David does make the point, you know, these are teams that we should be beating. You know, Chelsea, yeah, they outplayed us, but they're probably going to go and win the league this season. You kind of accept that. Liverpool, you know they're going to beat us. it's written in the stars. They do all the time. But, you know, the Norwiches, we were lucky. The Burnleys, we couldn't beat. You know, these are teams that we, you know, Newcastle, we've got Newcastle coming up in a couple of weeks. I don't fancy us winning that. But the one thing I will end on, because they said at halftime, guy next to me said, oh, get Vardy off and get Daka on. And I went, but we're not getting the ball to Vardy.
No.
So if we bring Daka on, we're not going to get the ball to Daka. You know, it's going to be no different. But then, obviously, Daka came on, but not for Vardy. I tell you what, he was running down the right wing towards us as we were behind the Southampton goal. My God, I thought I'd got 3D glasses on. You know, you feel like something's coming out the screen at you. I literally thought he was going to come in.
He's quite mad, isn't he?
I'm like, whoa. It was like, he's like, what's that cartoon, Wile E. Coyote, and what was the other one?
Roadrunner.
It's like Roadrunner.
You know, that's again, harping back, going back to the title-winning team, you had Danny Drinkwater in there, who didn't even look. If the ball was rolled into him, he'd just knock it into a channel where he knew someone would be running. Trouble is, when you get so sort of wrapped up in this possession-based football, then you don't look for those passes.
No.
You look to work it through channels and break the lines and all these other fancy words that they try and throw out.
If we were playing like that and winning, you'd say, this is fantastic. We're playing really, really well. But if you're going to do that, as the Liverpool team did in the 70s and 80s, they were great at it, You've got to be winning. You've got to have the players to do it.
The best teams work hard. Mm. Whether that's Barcelona, when they were at their peak, they used to work hard. Man City, Chelsea, Liverpool, they work hard. Off the ball, on the ball. We don't work hard. It's almost as simple as that.
Yes, it is. Well, we have got a match this Sunday. We are away at Villa Park, Sunday the 5th, and it is a 4:30 kickoff. You can watch it on Sky Sports. You can listen to it on lcfc.com/radio, or you can actually listen to it as well on either BBC channel, Radio 5 Live or Radio Leicester. I don't know. I am tempted to do a watch along. I'm not particularly sort of overly impressed with watch along. People, let me know if you want to watch along in the comments and we'll see. But this kind of worries me because it is pupil versus master at the weekend. And I just somehow think, you know, I can see you should be looking at that and thinking, well, you know, Brendan Rodgers, he's been a manager all these years and he's done this and he's done that. And Stephen Gerrard's a new kid on the block. This should be easy. You know, Brendan should be able to outthink him, blah, blah, blah. I'm not confident he will.
No, I mean, it's funny, just a final touch on Brendan. I remember before he became our manager, there was a Twitter feed, obviously a fake one, but it was called Deluded Brendan. And I think we're starting to find out why that was created. Because, yeah, he's coming across as someone who's deluded. But I think, I mean, Gerard will have taken a lot from all the managers that he's played with. He's played under some great managers. And, you know, as much as you, it's like your parents and your friends, is it? You learn things not to take forward as well as taking things forward. So you know what not to do as much as what to do. So he will have learned some things and he will learn how not to do certain things from Brendan. But, I mean, I like Gerard. I think he will turn out to be a good manager. I think he...
Yeah.
What I like about him is he's aggressive. You know, he wants his teams to be aggressive, and I think you need to be aggressive in this division. And again, it's something else that we're not.
Yeah. 24 times we've played them in the Premier League. We are, for once, that, well, I don't think it makes a lot of difference now, but we've got 10 wins against their 5, which was 9 draws. Only 4 of those wins, though, have been away from home. And, of course, last season, I think you touched on this earlier. No, it wasn't that Villa, was it? Sorry. But last season, they beat us at our place. We beat them at their place. It could go either way, couldn't it?
It could do. I think it's one that I don't think people will be throwing a lot of money at for one team to win or another. Mm-hmm. I know you're saying... only 4 of the 10 have been away, but that's not bad. Out of 10, winning 4 of them and drawing.
Yeah.
So I think we have got a decent record there, you know, over the years. I've seen some great games there. I've seen some great comebacks. I've also seen some shockers as well. So it definitely is. It's one of those. You know, and I know we'll come on to predictions later on, but... and I can't go against my team to lose. I can't put a losing one in, though. But I'm not particularly confident this weekend, to be honest.
Not at all. I mean, are we at the point of must-win games yet?
No. Well, it depends what the must-win element is. I don't think we're at that stage yet. No, I think you see it. It's frustrating, isn't it? Because if we were rubbish all the time, then you could almost accept it. You'd be calling for the manager's head even more vociferously. You'd be having a go at certain players, this, that, and the other. But we know that we've got good players, and we know that we can be a really good team. It's just the inconsistency. You know, usually you get inconsistency from season to season. You push it a little bit, you get inconsistency within a season. We've got inconsistency within a game, you know, and that's the most frustrating part of it. If we play really well, we can beat them. But without the right attitude, we've got no chance.
Yeah. And good evening. How the devil are you, sir? Great Leicester fan channel. Get over there and watch him. And because he needs the watches, because he needs to buy some money to go out and buy a pair of stepladders. So, I'm always going to remind you of that, and I am sorry. Sorry.
You don't sound sorry, to be fair.
No. I felt I was saying that I might not be coming across. Anthony, I am so sorry. Is that any better?
Oh, that was very sincere.
Thank you. Going into this game, that's the form. Pretty even, really. I mean, they lost to Man City, and they only just lost to Man City, but they beat Crystal Palace and they beat Brighton, which was 2 good results when you think how they are doing.
Yeah.
And they lost to Southampton, of course, we drew with. Then they lost to West Ham. If Miss Molina's still in, we lost to Arsenal. Yeah, we know who that. We couldn't beat Leeds. We got hammered by Chelsea. We somehow... Maybe we need to snow again, because we managed to beat Watford 4-2, and we got that draw against Southampton. So pretty even form going into it.
I think what you've got, though, is you've got the new manager bounce, haven't you, from Villa. Yeah. I think those 2 wins were his first 2 games, so he's had 3 games, and he's just narrowly lost to Man City and won the other 2. So, you know, you do generally get a new manager bounce. But the thing is, at Villa Park, if you do get the crowd behind you as well, it is a tough place to go, isn't it? You know, with a full house and they're all pulling in the right direction, then it's going to be tough. But, you know, new manager bounces usually do end at some point, you know.
Yes.
And it's interesting because they're still a bit of a fickle crowd as well. And if it goes against them, they won't turn, obviously, but it can be an intimidating place to play for the home team as well. So we just need to put them under pressure and see what they're made of.
Can you see us keeping a clean sheet?
Are we on about this game or this season?
Well, either, to be honest with you. Now, this season we have the first game of the season.
Yeah, we did. Maybe we'll top and tail it.
Joined in then.
Maybe that's it. We'll top and tail it with clean sheets. This weekend, no. Not at all.
No, it is. And that is the scary thing, really, isn't it? I mean, even we are, 14 games in now? Even Claudio had got it sorted out by this stage.
Yeah, I mean, what have we got? The third worst record for goals conceded, I think, haven't we? Which is ridiculous because, you know, strong teams are built on a strong defence. And if
Burnley
the vice
have let in less goals than us, you know.
Burnley?
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, we're fourth because Watford have let in more, Norwich and Newcastle. But it's for a team that have less... And you can't blame injuries, can you? Because we had worse injuries last season.
No,
weren't in this stage.
No, it's an intensity issue for me. Mm. You know, I was watching it and look at an individual players, like, you know, Harvey Barnes, for instance. How intent are they in stopping a cross?
Yeah.
I would suggest not very. They think if they get in a position where they're in between the ball and the box, that's their job. It's no use if you're 10 yards away. You've got to be in their face. And you don't need to win it. You know, this is a basic thing as well. You don't need to win the ball. You need to force them backwards. But we don't have that intensity. We get so far and then we just stand off and watch. And without that, balls are just kind of come raining into the box and we know what happens then.
And the other thing that frustrated me, and it takes me back, and I know we've mentioned this before, but it does take me back to the Pearson era in The Great Escape. There was a few times when the players could have had a shot, but opted not to.
Yeah.
You know, it works the other way. When Barnes had the shot in the second half, and maybe if he'd opted to pass it, Jamie would have put it in. But it's just like, again, nobody wanted to take the responsibility.
I think only Madders, you know, sometimes Madders does. Yeah. But apart from that, I think the thing is, there's probably on a clipboard somewhere saying you're not allowed to shoot unless at least six team members have touched the ball. And that's what it seems like, you know, that they want to score perfect goals. I mean, forget that. If you have a shot, chances are the keeper's going to spill a few. You know, they're going to bounce and ricochet. How often have you heard it? You've hit that too well. You know, if you miss hit it, they bobble in, whatever. But yeah, literally, just shoot. And, you know, do be positive in everything you do. Be positive. I would imagine 4 out of 5, 8 out of 10 throw-ins, for instance, that we take go backwards. It's like the first thought is, don't give it away. Let's go backwards and play safe football. Safe football doesn't get you anywhere.
No. Do you think, and a lot of people are saying this, they've been saying it in the chat, they are been saying it at the ground. Are we too obvious in how we play? Teams have worked us out. You know, Southampton, to my mind, as soon as we got a goal kick, their strikers were on our defenders.
Yeah, I think that's nothing new. I don't think that's something they've done for us. That seems to be that every team, maybe apart from Burnley, plays that way. They all try and play out from the back, so you try and cut them down. You've got to be clever enough with the movement in front. And that's where I say that we don't work hard enough. We don't work hard enough when we're off the ball, creating spaces, creating little triangles. But we are obvious in what we do. The most if I was a manager, the first thing I'd be saying is go and beat them for intensity. You know, go and close them down. They'll make mistakes. You know, and we do it. You know, so it is obvious. You don't need to be an Einstein to work out what's going to work against us.
Yes. Well, Ralph, I was going to say, Reece, are you happy you've got Ralph in and Michael's gone? Or is it a case, as I said to Julian the other day, man, and no disrespect, in a way it's a compliment. To my mind, Manchester United are a big club and managers should be walking barefoot over broken glass to be your manager. You shouldn't have to be waiting until the end of the season when somebody might decide they want to come. Let me know what you think, Reece. Dorco, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? I mean, he's got a point here. Too robotic, baffled by tactics, and scared to show any initiative. When Manders has been playing, he was my man of the match the other night. Mm. I mean, he showed some passion. It was great to see that he scored just in front of us. And, of course, we're celebrating with the fans, and I would say it was quite close. But he's been given this... Well, it looks like he's been given this more... this role where he's got more freedom.
Yeah.
And we've said before, you know, he's calling for the ball now. And, you know, maybe that's because Tillemans out. He's been given that freedom. But maybe the other players need to be given a bit of freedom. And maybe, as Dorco said there, maybe they are... what's the word I'm looking for?
Robotic.
Maybe they are getting too confused and too bogged down.
Well, yeah, I think it's... I don't know whether it's... I don't know, football manager, computer football, you know, it's all written down on a piece of paper. And it is, you know, if you're here, you put the ball there. I mean, you see it. I mean, Barnes, again, I know it sounds like I'm picking on Barnes, but it's like just a pendulum, isn't it? That we'll get the ball, we'll go out to one side, they won't want to take anybody back, so they'll play it back and it goes out the other side. It's one of those like Newton's cradle things. The ball just keeps going backwards and forwards, yeah. And sooner or later it slows down and it gets taken off you. He doesn't make what I call intelligent runs. You know, like Maddison did for the Watford goal that he scored. Yeah. He made an intelligent run across the pitch in behind. Barnes plays linear for me, so he'll hug the touchline and he'll want the ball there, and then he will... You know, sometimes he'll go with it. Other times he won't. But a lot of times he takes an easy option. But he doesn't. You don't see him making intelligent off the ball runs. And your top players are intelligent players as well. Mm-hmm. They're not just skillful. They're intelligent, and that's what makes them special. Barnes is that. I mean, I noticed. I read something in. I think it was in his press conference today, Rogers still talking about Barnes learning over the next couple of years how to improve when he's more tightly marked. I mean, he's been playing in the first team for a long time now. If he's still, yes, players learn, but you've got to be seeing something. You would expect to be seeing some kind of football intelligence being shown. So yeah. He's one of those players that if he hasn't got the beating of his fullback, he's very easy to block out the game.
Yeah. Yuri and, I mean, Yuri's back in training. He's not going to be fit for this game. Same with James Justin. I feel sorry for James Justin and Wesley Fofana because I think what people are saying is that when they come back, we're going to suddenly, our defence is going to be perfect. But it's going to take them a few games to get into it anyway.
No pressure, guy.
Exactly. And Yuri, I mean, you know, we've got to... maybe get used to him not being there because I don't think he'll be here next season now.
No, I think there may be one or two who are not here this season. Won't be here next season.
Yes.
And that's just the nature of it. But if you've got a... And this way it comes down to how important it is to have a style and structure to your play because then you know exactly the player that you go out to buy. I mean... You would be able to guess that we don't have that at the moment. We switch formations and therefore it makes it more difficult. You know, the best teams who do that, such as Atalanta are a great one, a couple of the teams in France, they know every season they're going to lose their best players. The Dutch do it. Ajax do it all the time. They lose their best players, but they have a structure and therefore they've either got someone coming through or they go out and find a player who fits that structure. When you're swapping and changing around all the time, you can't do that. And it just shows in the fact that we've spent two seasons trying to, well, probably three seasons now, we're trying to find a right winger, and yeah, we can't do it. So something's wrong somewhere that they're not being able to do it. But you have to have that set style of play. You can have some freedom within it, but you know how you play, so you can find the right players to come in. And, you know, I'm sure they're looking for a Yuri replacement already, because it doesn't look like, there's no signs that he's going to want to stay, is there? When you know you can play at a higher level, then, you know, he's not going to be here, is he?
He's not. I honestly don't think he is now. I think, he would have signed by now. And to be honest with you, the way that the team is playing, you can't blame him. You really can't. Rene is asking there about James. He did go off injured, but Brendan has said today that he should be back for Aston Villa, which is good.
And the encouraging part of that wasn't it, that when he did that, I think he hurt it when he was trying to create a chance or shoot or whatever initially, and he stayed down for a bit. But then he did it again when he was chasing back towards the end of the game to block a corner, which he managed to do. So it shows that Madders is in the right place mentally, yes, to be working from the first minute to the 90th. And it would be great if the rest of the team were showing that level of commitment as well.
I just hope that from this, some players you just have to give them free rein, don't you? Yeah. And you just say, go out there and, you know, that's your role. Maybe that's, is Madison's role. We will see. Reese says here, genuine question for you both. Is Rodgers getting the best out of his team, or do you think his future could or his tenure could end, is added at a later one, because of inconsistent performances?
I think we've seen that our owners are not scared of making tough decisions. And a big thing will be how well the rest of the teams are doing in our structure. And I mean that, so the under 23s. Now, obviously, we've got people out on loan, but people seem to go out loan forever. They don't seem to be putting any pressure on anyone in the first team. You get one or two. Barnes went on loan. Dewsbury Hall went on loan, and both had decent loan seasons. So the under-18s, the under-17s, under-16s, are we doing well? Are we showing improvement? Because if we are, that's supposed to be Brendan's remit. Yeah, he's got this overall overview of bringing all these youngsters through. If that's not showing any rewards, and the first team are not showing any rewards, then he's on a sticky wicket for me. I don't think that our owners would be scared of making a change. But it won't be until either we're in real relegation trouble, which I don't think we will be.
No.
Or at the end of the season, if we've not reached the heights that he thinks we should be, that we all think we should be, with a fully fit squad. I think that's going to be the key thing. Second half of this season will determine whether Brendan stays into another season or not.
I mean, when you look, it worked both ways, because we could have got rid of Nigel Pearson after the Watford game, the playoff Troy Deeney goal game. We didn't. We stuck with him, and look what happened the following season. But we got rid of Claudio Ranieri, who'd won us the Premier League like 9 months before, because we were sat 17th or 16th, whatever it was. So you can see it, you can see it going either way. I am hoping, and I will criticise the team, and I will criticise Brendan, because I think as fans, we pay our money, we're entitled to do that, as long as it doesn't get personal or anything like that. But I am hoping that he is learning from this, and I don't know, you do wonder sometimes, and it is kind of that mid blip, that he's had after his three seasons, and we're going to come back maybe stronger. We will see. When I said about this being a must win game, and we mentioned this before, 9 games in December, we've had Southampton, we've got Villa coming up at the weekend. A little game away at Napoli midweek next week, then Newcastle back at home, Spurs on the Thursday in between there, Everton and then Liverpool in the Carling Cup, and then we've got Man City, and then we've got Liverpool again over Christmas. I'm looking at that, and our season could be over by the end of December.
Well, it could, but then you've got the FA Cup draw in December, so we'll all start dreaming again, won't we, Chris?
Yeah,
I mean, the thing is, every game is a tough one now. You know, I know we've said in the past, these are the teams we should be beating. And they are, but and it's a cliche to say there's no easy games, and there isn't any easy games. Maybe Norwich should be an easy game, but even then, you never know, do you? But there's some teams in there that sort of run of three games of, I think, Newcastle, Spurs, Everton. That there, you've got to be looking at 7 points out of those. And I know we've said it before that I wanted 4 from Villa and Southampton. So really, yeah, we need to go and beat Villa. But they've got to be looking at that. They've got to be having targets, you know, of where they should be points-wise or whatever. So, yeah, it's a run of games. As you say, you know, if things go sour between now and the end of the year, then there's a hell of a lot of pressure going to come down on him.
David says here, I haven't mentioned it, Dave, but it is a very good point. They've just lost their best centre-back. It is a very winnable game. This is football. You know, in one night, we went from staring an exit out of the Europa League to topping the group. And, you know, it's in our own hands, as they like to say. We could end up not even having to sort of play those that drop down, even if we can beat Napoli. So it is in our hands. We've seen Napoli are very beatable. We were 2-0 up against them. Other teams, was it Warsaw, I think, beat them? Or was it...
Moscow beat them.
Moscow beat them, yeah, that was it. They are beatable. And one of those was at their place. So, you know, who knows? I mean, Reece says here, in reply to what you were saying... he agrees regarding the right wing options. Do you think you should just abandon this approach and play with 2 strikers? Oh, I wish. What do you know? It's what we've been calling out for, isn't it, Craig?
Yeah, I think so. And the thing is that then we have 1 or 2 bad games in a certain formation, and people say, right, ditch the wing backs, you know. Because the central three. I mean, when the central three works really well, when it's tight and you've got the one in front and that works well, then wing backs is a really exciting formation. You see Chelsea doing it week in, week out at the moment and playing it really well, attacking wing backs, but they know they've got a solid base behind them. They play with 3 centre halves, and then they have a Jorginho or a Kovacic or somebody sitting in there. But you're right. If you're going to play wingers, your wingers have got to impact the game, you know. And if they're not, it is literally pointless them being there. And we don't have a plethora of wingers, do we? You know, once Barnes goes off one side, Lookman goes off the other, you're looking at what have we got, and it's Mark Albrighton. Yeah. Nothing against Mark. I'm just saying there's no strength in depth there. There's no youngster coming through. No youngsters seem to be even making the bench at the moment in an attacking...
They do in Europa League, but maybe that's because we're allowed more subs in the Europa League.
I don't know. Maybe they get cheaper flights. I don't know.
Under 16 flights.
Exactly. Because none of them seem to get anywhere near, you know, getting any game time. So we're not seeing that, you know, that... It's always exciting, is it, when you see the next... big thing is on the bench or whatever. You know, we're seeing, you know, we hear certain
players... There's no need
players.
To be nasty like that. I was nowhere near the bench. I put a few pounds on, I'll grant you, but, you know, there's no need for that.
but we don't see it. You know, we saw a few in pre-season, but none of them have actually made... only Kieran Dewsbury-Hall has made any impact from those who were being shown off in pre-season. Well, so... You know, again, where's the next one coming through the system?
I'm going to ask you about Kieran Dewsbury-Hall because I don't know whether, I mean, you know, Sumari was built up before we bought him. I'm sure he's very good. But can he play with Ndidi? And I just, for me personally, I just think they're too similar. there's no options there because neither of them are particularly attack minded. You know, Wilf had a shot went into Rose Ed. Once a season, one of those goes in. Dewsbury Hall, when he came on, he wanted it. He wanted the ball. And yeah. I'm not saying that Samari doesn't, don't get me wrong, but they've got the roles. And, you know, they always said about Lampard and Gerrard for England. I don't know if I like the Indeed. And I know we've got Tielemans out, so we haven't got the options. But I don't know if I like the Indeedy-Samari partnership. Give Dewsbury Hall his head. He's ready now for... If Thomas was ready when he was ready to play full games, Dewsbury Hall is now, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think Samari's got that... what should I say? He doesn't have the intensity for me for a start. And as I said, I've said this before...
Is this Kieran, sorry, or Samari?
Samari, for me.
Samari.
So... When he had a really good season, he had a couple of good seasons down in the French League, but he was playing a more withdrawn role. So the game was happening in front of him. He wasn't having to deal with players running off him as such. Mm. And he's having to do that now because you've got Wilf. He's been asked to play a bit more of an advanced role because Brendan is convinced that he can be this box-to-box midfielder. Yeah. But he doesn't have the positional awareness to be tracking runners. So people are running off the back of him, you know, and you can't have that with your midfielders. So for me, I think you're right. He's got to show a lot more, Samari, for me. When it becomes a physical battle, he's got someone else in there, then he quite enjoys that. There was a couple of tussles he had with Sissoko in the Watford game, and he likes that sort of feeling players close to him being marked tightly, that he can keep the ball, he can spread it around. When it's an open game, he seems lost. He doesn't know when or where to go. So for me, I think you're right. I think now is probably the time that Dewsbury Hall gets a start, and then it's his shirt to hang on to, isn't it?
We've agreed on something.
How far into that? It's an hour. We're an hour in.
And we're 14 games into the season, and we finally agreed on something. What we're going to do, we're going to have a look at a couple of players in a minute, and we're going to do that straight after this. You're not my sloppy seconds tonight, Craig. You're my warm-up. I'm back at 9 o'clock with Brad and X-Fox, Steve Linex, who's doing rather well than I thought he would do in this prediction game because he didn't have a good season last season, but he's beating me at the moment. So Steve Linex and Brad, 9 o'clock. Don't touch that dial, as they say. We'll be back. Now then... Let's do the one to watch first of all, because with nine games, like I've said a few occasions, we're never going to be able to guess the team that's going to go out.
No.
You know, you literally we could be 10 players wrong. You know, but this is the one that you've said that we should be watching, and I think he's watching something as well, John McGinn. Yeah.
Well, for me, I think there's other players that would probably be more obvious, such as whether Danny Ings looks like he may be back, Ollie Watkins, you know, the wingers, Leon Bailey, I think, who they brought in from Germany, who are probably more exciting. But for me,
Leon Bailey actually isn't playing, sorry, he's pulled out. Yeah.
So John McGinn, for me, is exactly the player that we lack, and I would love him in our team. Because he's like the driving force, isn't he? He's like one of these sort of more diminutive players, but he's constantly on the go. He gives it everything. He covers so much ground and he sets the tempo for the team very often. Loves a tackle, really aggressive, but he's a skillful player as well. And started out at St Mirren, then went to Hibs and went through to Villa. But it was interesting that... in the summer of 2018, when he actually joined Villa, or just before that, Celtic made three attempts to try and buy him from Hibs. And obviously, Brendan was the manager at the time, so he knows all about him, knows all about his qualities. But Hibs refused to sell to Celtic, and then he ended up down at Villa. So, I mean, I do really like him, and you know, he scored a couple of goals this season as well. He's got a great left foot, which I think I'm legally obliged, because it's his left foot, I'm legally obliged to refer to it as a wand of a left foot. No one ever has a wand of a right foot.
No,
have a wand of a left foot for some reason. So you know damn well what's going to happen. You know, it'll be, don't let him cut in on his left. Oh, look what we've done. But I really like him, as I say. And if we had that sort of energetic player, the same as Conor Gallagher at Palace's, I think we would see a lot more. And that's what we lack for me, that energising little energizer bunny type player in the middle of the park. And for me, that's John McGinn, and that's why I've chosen him as a one to watch.
13 appearances this season, so it's virtually every game. And like you said, three goals scored. So let's hope Brendan knows about him.
Well, let's hope, yeah.
So on the other side of the coin, foot in both camps. And I'm going back now to a time, and I suppose this is when we should say, well, yeah, remember where we came from. But things move on. We can't always remember where we came from. Yes, I know we were in the third tier. Yes, I know we had a wet Tuesday in Yeovil or whatever it is. But that was then, and this is now. But back then, this was the time when if we got a good player, you knew he wasn't going to stop because he would move on, because we'd need to sell them and to keep the club going. And of course, I said at the start about the return of Brian Little to Leicester this day, 97, was it, I said?
Yeah.
But this player left to join Brian Little at Aston Villa. Mr. Joachim, JJ.
Indeed. Yeah, I really liked Joachim. He was, he's a Peterborough lad, but he seemed like he was one of us because he came through the ranks. And again, you know, with doing this, it does allow me to pose some questions to you, doesn't it?
It does, and I'm dreading this because I never know the answers.
No, it's fine because I'm going to give you three. I'm going to give you three questions here. So out of Leicester and Villa, which club did he make the most appearances for? Which club did he score the most goals for? And do you know how much Villa paid for him?
I should have known this was coming up, and I should have had the Wikipedia page up ready, and I could have just gone subtly like that and look over. I'm going to say, I mean, in fairness, Brian, he actually scored, because again, if you go on the website, there's a page, that's LeicesterTillIDie.com, www.LeicesterTillIDie.com. We have a page called Favourite Things, and there's ex-players, ex-managers, coaches, etc., that do their five favourite things. And his favourite ever goal that was scored at Leicester under Brian Little was Joachim's against Barnsley.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was...
While you're thinking on those, the goal I remember him for most of all, and I'm sure there was a lot of Leicester fans, was scored at home, but not at home, if you remember it rightly. It was a playoff semi-final, and we were having the new ground built. So we'd come out of Filbert Street, I think, and we played Portsmouth, and we actually played our home leg at the City Ground in Nottingham. And it was a very, very tight affair. And then all of a sudden, Joachim got the ball and burst between two Notts Forest defenders with that amazing pace that he's got, and just went through and poked the ball past the keeper. That goal will always stay with me. One, because, you know, we had to actually go and take over the City Ground. But it was such an important game. And obviously we went on and won that semi-final and went to Wembley. But that one will always stay with me, that Joachim goal.
I'm a bit scared now because I'm actually finding myself agreeing with Rhys, the Man United fan, because he's predictive with a bit of fun as well. Okay. Most appearances, because he came through the ranks, I would have got to go for Leicester.
Right.
I don't know if I'm going to agree with it. I was going to say most goals Villa, but it depends how long he was at Villa, because I know he had a few clubs.
He had many, many clubs, almost as many as Worthington, who we had last week.
So I'm actually going to change my mind, and I'm going to regret that, I know. I'm going to go Leicester again for most goals. Okay. And Brad said hardly anything for money, and this was 1970, I'm going to go for a million.
Right. Okay. Well, let me tell you how well you've done there. So he went for $1.5 million. So that's not bad.
That's not bad. I nearly went with that. That's not bad. Yeah.
He played 99 times for Leicester.
Right.
And he played 141 for Villa.
Yeah, I didn't think he was there that long.
Scored 25 for Leicester, 39 for Villa. So it was more Villa appearances, more Villa goals. And $1.5 million. So, well done,
Rhys. By the way, you did worse than me. But then again, you are a Man United fan. We've got a new quiz coming up, so contact me if you want to. We want to have a bit of a fun quiz night. Craig, score predictions.
Oh, just while we're on, let's just finish on Joe Chim.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Just got one more thing. One little anecdote, which I didn't know, and I should know. We should all know this. And if this is wrong, then it's Wikipedia who are wrong. Let me just put
they've caught me out many a time.
Now, according to what I've read about Joe Chim, and as I say, please let me know if I'm wrong. Well, let Chris know. I don't care. Joachim scored Leicester's first ever goal in the Premier League in a 3-1 home defeat, apparently. But our first ever goal in the Premier League, not at the King Power, at the stadium or whatever, but in the Premier League, according to them, was scored by Julian Joachim.
I didn't think it was.
Well, I didn't. That's why I didn't know it. So,
no.
So I'm putting it out there. If somebody can,
I can't remember who it was. It was.
That's your homework, Chris.
Then again, I might be thinking of the first goal at the King Power,
which was Brian Dean.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yes, yeah. That is what I'm thinking of.
So, last goal at Filbert Street, Matt Piper.
Yeah.
First goal at the King Power, or the Walkers, as it was, Brian Dean. But apparently, according to the Wikipedia page, he scored our first ever goal in the Premier League.
No, you didn't go on and just sort of amend it before you ended.
No, but I will be doing afterwards.
Yes, yeah. I want, before we do move on, I have just thought of this, and I do want to ask you this. There's a quick... Do you know when VAR make the decisions... And this was a camera that was at the in the VAR studios when they were watching the Arsenal goal against Man United when De Gea decided to fall over. And this was a sound recording. I have to be honest with you on this one. I am totally behind my I'm behind Arsenal in the fact that the goal should stand because it was his own player.
Yeah.
And he was up to, you know, had they not been able to clear the ball, I bet De Gea would have got up straight away. Mm. But I also say that, you know, because on about whether Man United should have then given them the goal back or anything. No, they shouldn't.
No, not at all.
No. I mean,
Well, I mean, if that's the case, I mean, what do you do? Just if someone's running through on goal, don't bother trying to tackle him. Just kick your own goalkeeper so he goes down. I mean,
yes.
I heard this morning on Talk Sport they were basically laying into De Gea and saying, you know, what a wimp, essentially. You know, you wait, you go down once the ball's clear and you know that there's an issue, not in the middle, you've just felt something on your ankle. But then they played a clip of Jamie O'Hara last night saying that the referee should have stopped the game. You know, instantly you saw him go down, he should have stopped the game. And yes, Man U should let him, Arsenal should have let them score. What a load of rubbish. It's,
yes,
you know, it's a game, it's a physical game. I really hate the fact that people can just throw themselves to the floor and expect the game to be stopped.
Yes.
Serves it right.
I mean, whether De Gea knew what would, but he would have known that they were on the defensive side and they were coming, you know, that Arsenal were coming at them. But yeah, it's your own player. It's not a foul. It's not a free kick.
It doesn't.
You want the game stopping because somebody actually tapped your ankle.
Unless you are physically unable to do it, then you just play and you wait for an opportunity to get treatment. Even if you're hobbling around, you don't turn your back on the game and roll into the goal and start crying. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Reece said here, if Atkinson actually blew the whistle because he saw it before Smith Rowe shot, wouldn't have happened. But even so, it was a legitimate goal. Yes, it was. But then you shouldn't have had to have given them one back straight away, Reece. Definitely
he
not.
He turned around, didn't he, Atkinson? And he saw him on the floor and instantly blew his whistle. But fortunately, the ball had already crossed the line, so it was too late. Yes. But I don't know why he was instantly blowing his whistle. He didn't see what happened. So it could be that he was looking for a polo mint that he dropped or whatever. Who knows?
Yes.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. No. But it did give me the giggles, I must admit. Mm. So we do go on, as Rennie says there, score predictions. Now, I know I pinched your 3-1 last week.
How did that go for you?
Yeah, well, I got a point, but was it Southampton? No, was it Southampton?
You went for 3-1 at Southampton, yeah.
Southampton, yeah. The funny thing is nobody got a point because nobody went for the draw. Mm. But if we have a look at, let me just get the scores up here. Well, let's start off. What are you going to go for this week, Craig?
You're going to get mine before I see everyone else's. Fair enough.
Yes, but mine are written down, so I can't change my mind.
I'm going to go for a repeat of the Southampton scoreline, I think, 2-2.
2-2, wow. I can see why people are going for the draws, but I just hope that we're going to win one eventually. I've gone for 2-1 to Leicester. Big Marshy's gone 2-1 to Villa. Steve Walsh has gone on holiday, I think, because he's not letting know at the moment. Tags has gone 2-2, and he is leading the league at the moment. So you might have picked the right one to go
good
for.
Good company.
Yeah, Steve Lynx and Ian Wilson have both gone for Villa. So there's only me there that has gone for a Leicester win.
Yeah.
Plastic fans, what can I say? But no. But just going back to Julian, do you think Julian Dotum ever fulfilled his potential?
No, I don't think so. He was one of those, wasn't he? I think his big game was pace. And I don't think he had a lot of finesse to his game though. And I think that's where, you know, so creating goals out of nothing, a bit of fancy footwork. I think it was all about pace. So he needed other people to create the chances for him. So it's interesting though. He's clearly a guy who just loves playing football. So I did make a little note actually, because even though he had injuries and God knows what, and he couldn't play at a certain level, he at the age of 45, so this was in the 2018-2019 season, so only a couple of years ago, he still signed on with a non-league club, but he hasn't played at all.
Yeah.
But the age of 45, he was playing in the Notts Senior League. He played for Aslockton and Orton, if anyone knows them, in the Notts Senior
doesn't?
League.
Give us an A.
played 39 times, scored 33 goals.
Well, yeah. Well, but yeah, I think he should have played more for England, to be honest with you.
He played it under he never got a senior cap.
No.
He got under 18s, 19s and 21s, but never got a senior cap.
Rennie's gone 2-1 2-1 lose Villa. Okay, 2-1 to Villa or 2-2 draw again.
Reece, yeah,
he's gonna be kind. Come down off that fence, Rennie. Reece has gone, he's gone for a 2-1 Leicester win. I've got to be honest with you. You've got more confidence than a lot of the Leicester fans in us, Reece. And TM's gone for a 1-1 draw. Dorco said it was Jordan Stewart at the King Power.
Right.
Not sure, because we know it was Brian Dean at the King Power.
Yeah, that was the first goal at the King Power.
Where are we here? Terry Fuller is... I've got to mention this. Paul Conquest, the host at Bailey's, go, go, girls, each side of the stage. Nothing to do with football, just cheering you up, Chris, with the memories. The problem is, I don't remember the go-go girls.
They remember you, Chris. They're still having therapy. Yeah,
remember, I was on a first date, so maybe I had eyes for another.
Yeah.
Who knows? Paul Conquest, eh? Bloody hell. You know, and Dorco said he saw Les Dawson at Bailey's. He had some stars go down, in fairness, didn't they?
They did indeed.
But as always, sir, are you going on Saturday? Sunday even?
No, I'm not. As I say, I'm not high enough up the ranks of the closed shop to get tickets for that game.
You say that. I mean, I'm only a member. I'm a gold member. I'm an Austin Powers film. But I got tickets to Southampton. I don't, you know, this is very strange how they do these things, isn't it?
I think that was probably something to do with it being a Wednesday night down on the South Coast.
Could well be.
So there are games,
to be honest with you.
Yeah, there are games that do go further down. But obviously, this game sold out fairly quickly, I think.
Of course, because of the fact that it's Villa, I suppose. But young man, his lad is still kicking around, Chris. He should open a new Bailey's. That's what we want. I should start a thing.
Yeah, that's it. Start a campaign.
BBB, yeah. Bring back Bailey's. Bring back Bailey's. And Rene still isn't. A Rodgers fan. Rennie just wants Rodgers gone. He doesn't like him at all. Dorco says versus Bilbao, that was probably a pre-season friendly.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yes, and I you were probably right there. Yes, on that one. David says 2-1 Leicester, we ain't keeping a clean sheet. Totally agree with you, and I think we all do. That's why we've all gone at least one goal going in against us. You take care too, Rennie. Thank you very much, young man.
You're welcome, Chris. Pleasure as always.
It's a busy month, but it is Christmas coming up. So hopefully see you back on Tuesday.
Tuesday with your Napoli fan.
Yeah, so we actually got a Napoli fan coming on, which is great because it will really add something to the game. And I think because it's on a knife edge...
Yeah,
and it could. Let's face it. There's four teams that could still qualify in some form or another.
Yeah,
it should be a good show.
I'm going away to look up the Italian for clean sheet.
Andrex, isn't it? I'll leave that one with you. Thanks very much, Mike. Take care.
All right. Cheers. Bye all.
Cheers. Thank you. Thanks to Craig as always. He is my wise old owl. What I don't know about football, he knows. And to be honest with you, that's 99% of the stuff we talk about on here. So thank you, as always, Craig. We're going to be back in 36 minutes with Brad and Steve Lynick doing the prediction show. Thanks very much for watching. Thanks for joining in. Like I say, thanks to everybody who commented. Really do appreciate it. Please subscribe. If you're not on YouTube, it does help the channel. give the thumbs up and give it a like as well. That is also helps. And of course, if you want to listen to it on podcast, any of the podcast platform, just search Leicester Till I Die. And that is obviously, like I say, the main ones, Apple, Spotify and Google. I'll see you back at 9 o'clock. Take care. And all of you, thanks very much for joining in. Bye-bye.
Oh, ho, 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 ho. Thank you for watching. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hello, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news.
Come on, you foxes!
Podcast Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.